There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Robbie Greenfield is looking on with some kind of, I don't know.
Confusion,
exactly.
Somebody left the exercise bike in here from the Dubai Fitness Challenge, and I thought I'll have a quick go again. It's tough, actually.
You're just continuing on that, you know, the 30 for 30, it's a lifestyle for you.
Do you know what? That's actually what that was all about, isn't it? If you can get 30 minutes a day in your life, if you can do it, not all of us can, but if you can keep that going after the 30-30, that's sort of the proof of the pudding, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a good thing, though. I like that.
Maybe not when we're in the middle of the radio show.
No, I feel a bit out of breath.
Yeah. Okay, Robbie, you're here to talk about actual athletes rather than just Dubai Fitness Challenge athletes.
Yeah, shall we talk cricket?
Yeah, let's kick up. I mean, the Ashes, the build-up has been insane. If you're into cricket, you don't have to be British or Australian to think this is a grudge series.
It is a grudge series. And before we talk about the series, I've got a small confession to make, which is kind of embarrassing. And
When you say small confession, that means you're underplaying it slightly. So it's a larger than you
just,
admit.
It's just an admission of ignorance and stupidity on my part.
Okay.
Do you know why the Gabba is called the Gabba?
I don't know.
So this is the thing, because you know the Wacker, where they also play, which is the Western Australian Cricket Association ground.
Right.
I always used to think that the Gabba would also be an acronym. The Greater Australian Bowling Association or something. That's what I just assumed it would be.
Greater Australian Bowling and Batting Association.
Yeah, exactly. Bowling and Batting. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I thought it was. I never really looked into it. I now realise that it's not the acronym at all. It's actually named because it's situated in the borough of Woolloongabba.
Woolloongabba. Was that your small admission?
That was my small admission, but for all these years that I've been following cricket and watching the Ashes, I've always thought the Gabba stands for cricket, Bowling
Greater
and Batting
Authority
Association.
Of Brisbane Batting.
I just needed to get that off my chest because it was just something that I just realised, oh my God, I'm so stupid. I read that today.
I don't think
and I thought I've been labouring under that delusion for an awful long time.
You see, Robbie, this is what you should have said. You should have come down here and said, I have some interesting QI about the Ashes.
Yeah.
Sold it that way.
I could have worked it into a way to make it sound like I was really having my finger on the pulse. But
the thing is, you don't need to be a lover of cricket for this. You just need to be a lover of contest.
That's the bottom line.
Ashes,
yeah, that's the bottom line. And Raoul's already smirking, or at least just pointing out.
Woolloongabba.
Raoul's a cricket maestro. I know that because he was a member of Edged and Dropped, which was our winning quiz team back in the summer at the big quiz. But the Ashes is, for me, as an Englishman, the defining cricket series. It's the ultimate. It's the oldest rivalry in the game. It's you could make a good case that maybe India and Pakistan have equally as fierce a rivalry, but the rivalry between England and Australia is unique, and it's got so many plot lines, so much narrative behind it. The Ashes, so much. We talked about the sledging a few weeks on the show, and that's a huge part of it as well. And Australia. Both sides are difficult to beat on their home patch, but Australia have certainly had more success in later years than England in terms of being the home side and being dominant. Australia are just very difficult to beat at home. I think the only team that have beaten them in a test series is South Africa since, I'd like to say, I think the last team to win at the Gabba, to win an actual test match there, was 1988.
And that was South Africa, what did you say?
South Africa were the last team to beat Australia in Australia.
Michelle, that was your chance to cheer there.
Go Proteas.
Yeah.
It was a cricket.
Australia,
yes.
Australia
so
have
it's
won.
Cricket? You saw on cricket?
Yeah. Australia have won the six of the last seven Ashes on home soil.
Phew, they're still on cricket.
I was going to say Springbok, sorry.
No, I mean, the thing is, the trash talk at the moment is what is front and centre because nothing's happened on the field. There is everything to play for, but nothing's been played for yet. So it is all about the trash talk. It's all about Nathan Lyon saying, we're going to decimate you or end some careers this time after last time. It's all about what's coming out from Josh Hazlewood, for example.
Yeah.
But there doesn't seem to be a great amount, as far as I can see, of English trash talk back as yet.
Well, no, I think they've got their tails between their legs. I think what's happened with Ben Stokes, which David Warner, the outspoken Australian batsman, was very quick to kind of rub salt into the wounds there. You know, you're going to miss Ben Stokes. He's a world-class player. He's let himself and England down. That was the message from David Warner. And I think England, they're resolute. You know, they know they've got a job to do. you look at both lineups, you look at both sides, and it's difficult to kind of think that they're not classic English or Australian sides. There's a lot of weak links in there. Both sides have world-class players. You look at Mitchell Starc, who's been on such brilliant form. Nathan Lyon, who you mentioned, who's been taking a lot of wickets as well. Batting in Australia, that Steve Smith, David Warner, very, very strong. From the English perspective, you've got Joe Root, the captain, who's one of the world's best batsmen for sure. Alistair Cook as well. And, you know, whether Stuart Broad and James Anderson can produce the kind of heroics that they have done historically. But so many iffy, you know, just iffy kind of like 3 and 4 for England. Or the opening batsman, Mark Stoneman, James Vince, yet to really convince Dawid Malan. Johnny Bairstow, the wicketkeeper, is a bit hot and cold as well. One of the key players, I'm sure, for England is going to be Moeen Ali, all-rounder.
I think he's the difference. I really do.
He could bat higher. I feel like he could be much higher up the order than he tends to bat. And I think he could be a real difference maker for England. But even Shane Warne, the Australian bowling legend, was saying that there's a very uneven look to the Australian squad. So what you're going to get, I think, is a series that, while not being a classic, it might be a classic contest, it won't be a series between two classic sides. Not like the 2005
sides.
Ashes, which was absolutely, you know, amazing for so many reasons and had such incredible test matches. But it's actually indicative of how cricket has changed in those last 12 years or so as well. Because, you know, with the advent of T20 and the IPL, there's definitely less, I feel, there's less of an emphasis and a build-up to this Ashes series for some reason. I just think there's so much more depth to all facets of cricket now.
Two things, Robbie. Rahul's text in. He is cricket expert, bit like yourself almost. But Rahul wants to push you on a prediction.
Oh, don't do that. Yeah. Rahul really doesn't do that.
Rahul thinks Australia are going to take it 3-1.
I hate to be unoriginal, but that's the scoreline I actually predicted.
That's what you went for the other day.
3-1 to Australia. I think Australia will win at the Gabba, the Gabbatoir. I think they will build an unassailable lead, and I think England will nick one towards the end, because I think we don't see too many drawn test matches anymore. Yeah, there are one or two. We just saw a draw between India and Sri Lanka, but that was rain affected. So I think Australia are going to get the both. I don't think Australia are good enough to whitewash England. There's too many uneven qualities in that team, but I still think they'll have the edge. And the Australian conditions are uniquely Australian, and they favour the home side. And England, and as have other sides as well. It's not just England that have struggled down under. I think in the last five years, only South Africa have beaten Australia in a series. So that sets a worrying precedent if you're an England fan.
Now, Robbie, just going to have to canter through these really, really quickly.
Sure.
But football, Champions League last night.
Well, the big result in the Champions League last night was Sevilla coming back from 3-0 down at half-time against Liverpool. And I think the big story behind that was the coach of Sevilla, Eduardo Barreto, actually told the team that he'd been diagnosed with prostate cancer during the half-time talk. Wow. When they were 3-0 up, or they were 3-0 down. Liverpool had scored through Sadio Mane and two from Roberto Firmino. And it just goes to show the galvanising power of an emotional story like that, because the players bound together and they came back out in the second half and it was a totally different story. And through Ben Yedder and Pizarro, Sevilla, well, they nicked a goal right at the death to equalise at 3-3. And we're obviously going to await to see the condition of the coach and what treatment that he needs to undergo. But obviously we wish him well. That was a fantastic game of football. A reverse, really, albeit not at a very pivotal stage, not like a final, but the exact same reverse of what happened in that famous final in 2005 against AC Milan, when Liverpool were the side to come back. Just a couple of other results that jump out. Real Madrid, emphatic against Apoel, 6-0. Cristiano Ronaldo has now scored 18 goals in the Champions League in this calendar year. That's insane.
It's more than most teams.
That's more than most players score in their league season. He scored it in the Champions League. That's an incredible stat.
Well, he's not doing it in his league
and
season.
And he's not doing
it.
He's only scored one in La Liga. So it's a bizarre juxtaposition there. And just looking quickly to tonight, Chelsea are away to Karabag. Man United are away to FC Basel. PSG will look to enjoy themselves against your team, Celtic, Tim. And this is the tie that really intrigues me. Juve against Barcelona in Turin. That's a real standout tie. So plenty of awesome fixtures to look forward to this evening. And we're going to be chatting more about that on Sports Tonight.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.